Welcome to the Sag Perspectives podcast, coverage of the South Central U.S. Drought Impacts and Assessment Workshop, where we talk with several of the presenters, including Klaus Wolter, a research associate who actually works for the University of Colorado, with NOAA at their Earth System Research Laboratory in the state of Colorado, in Boulder, Colorado. And Klaus indicated to us that we've got some real problems ahead of us potentially because of La Nina. La Nina setting us up for the dry weather over this last winter. Possibility a double dip La Nina may be coming this fall.
You were giving some color about what's going on with this year's drought conditions at this point and La Nina. You know, what is the relationship?
In general, La Nina favors drought conditions in the south central U.S., and that includes Oklahoma and Texas in particular, although there's a seasonal flavor to it. So it's really mostly in the winter season, winter and a bit in spring, that it tends to be dry with La Nina. Whereas during the summer, ironically, now that La Nina is weakening, it doesn't really matter that much for Oklahoma because you don't really get that dry with La Nina anyway during the summer. So it's sort of ill-timed, the wrong time to weaken, if you will.
Now, it's weakening now. You indicated there's a reasonable chance that it could be reestablishing this fall, though.
Yeah, we could have what I would call a double-dip La Nina. And we just saw this recently. In 2007-08, we had a pretty good La Nina, not as big as this one, but fairly strong. And it came right back in 2008-09, even though in the summer it went away. In general, that La Nina, the second year La Nina, was drier in many places than the first year.
So it does suggest a drier winter, right?
It does suggest a drier winter. And again, you know, if I were a betting man, I would say that's a 50. It's slightly better than 50-50, but it's not 90-10 or something like that.
Very interesting that you were talking about that. It takes something fairly significant, a big event, if you want to call it that, to really knock a drought once it gets established.
Yes, and this is partially just based on you know, having watched this for 20 years, quite often the big droughts in the western U.S., for instance, we don't get the hurricanes. We just get these big tropical, big Pacific storms that come in the winter, like we had last December in Southern California. But from the Gulf Coast, from Texas eastwards, it's typically a hurricane, and it's a pretty big season, actually. You know, we can get one in July, or you can get it in October, November. So, yeah, 4 or 5 months where one event can turn things around on a dime. You can get 10 inches in one day, and that sets the stage. All of a sudden, you have soil moisture that can recycle. All of a sudden, there's humidity in the air, and it's when you don't have that, if you just have dry ground that's spreading out, it's harder and harder to actually import the moisture because, you know, the sun, meanwhile, tries to keep things hot and it just makes it harder.
It's a perpetuation type
it's,
thing.
It's a self-perpetuating mechanism. It's what we call a positive feedback. And it basically operates, especially from Texas northward, and Oklahoma is sort of part of that pattern, during the growing season. When in the winter season and even in spring when the sun is not as strong, other things are more important. But during the summer, it's a really important mechanism to keep things dry once they get dry, especially like this year.
One of your slides indicated that we've got a very small chance of being able to break the drought here in 2011, but I think a 5% chance.
The Climate Prediction Center, Dan Collins, who was showing this, that if you just look at how deep the hole is we are in right now, how much does it take to come out of it, and historically in the last 100 years, how often have we seen this actually happen? Those odds were like 5%, I think, to come out of it, and maybe 10-20% that we could get at least improve enough that the drought monitor wouldn't look quite as red, which are both pretty small chances. It doesn't mean it can't happen. And in fact, part of that calculation, when you think of 5%, you know, I was showing that we have had five out of the nine La Nina summer seasons that I looked at since 1950 had a tropical storm make landfall. And I showed how most of those tropical storms, most of those hurricanes, when they made landfall, actually produced a fair bit of rain. There were some exceptions, but most of them did. But the footprint is still not the whole region. You know, it's more on the level of half a state, say, or, you know, half of Louisiana or eastern Texas or half of Oklahoma. But so you need more than one of those to really, or you need, what was it, Carmen, 1974 was the one that kind of crisscrossed Texas in such a way that it actually doused the whole state. But that was one in 60 years. So that's, I agree that, well, so these probabilities of 5% really reflect probably the chances of getting a tropical storm.
Very good. One other question. You said that there's just a lot of unknowns of all of this stuff. There's just, I guess, random set of factors too.
Yes, we have actually learned in the last two decades to make reasonable forecasts for the hurricane season in terms of how much activity you get. So how many storms, how many named storms, but it's the whole Atlantic Basin. And you can have a very active season like last year. 2010 was, by some measures, was the second or third most active season in the last 60 years. But there was no landfall in the U.S. There was a mention there that there were two tropical storms that made landfall in Texas. But in general, you can have a very active season, but if all those storms are in the middle of the Atlantic or hit Mexico, you know, that's bad for them, but it doesn't really affect. We haven't developed the capability to predict the actual landfall in the U.S., and that's part of that random chance that you can get. First, where does the storm form, and then the weather patterns actually influence where it's going to go. And that is something we can only predict 5 to 10 days out at best. And if you watch hurricane forecasts, once they form, some track really nicely. Unfortunately, Katrina was actually one of those that tracked really nicely with what was predicted. It was just a lack of proper response, I think, that caused that damage. But it was a very well-predicted storm. But there have been others that have been much more random, even once they have formed. So we have a long ways to go with predicting these tropical storms, never mind the seasonal problem.
Klaus Wolter, a research associate with the University of Colorado, working with NOAA at their Earth System Research Laboratory out of Boulder, Colorado. Yeah, bottom line, he says what we probably really need and maybe the best chance to break out of this current drought cycle early would be some sort of a tropical storm, a hurricane, if you please, that comes across maybe around Brownsville and loops up across a good bit of Texas into Oklahoma. Remnants of that type of a storm could be a game changer in the current drought. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.